Welcome to the show, Dr. Blair.
And it is indeed my pleasure. Let me switch over here. It's indeed
okay.
my pleasure, Tamara Westwood, on the night of goblins and gooseberries and pumpkin pie, along with all the other things. And I tell a lot of people nowadays, I can't tell Halloween from every day here in the United States in big cities.
Well, you know, Delbert, as I mentioned before, many of our listeners know and love you. We all know you have been on all three of our programs. You've been on Occult Science Radio. You've been on Solutions. And I believe this is your first time being here on Illuminations. So many of the Illuminations listeners may not know of you. So please give us a background about you and who you are. I mean, I already did the drum roll.
I hope it was an extensive one because I don't want to get into all that again. But whatever, again, for those in your audience, and I know you have a vast audience, and I'm sure I'm not that well known. I've been around a long time, but a lot of people never heard of me, so I can understand that too. I'm the director of the medicine. In fact, I'm talking to you now. I just finished a lecture here on Halloween in a movie, which is going to offshoot this movie that's coming out soon. I'm not going to give it a plug, but nevertheless, it's what we just covered. And since it is, of course, All Hallows' Eve, I'm the director of the Meta Center. I formed the Meta Center in 1971, registered it as the Aquarian Church and Metaphysical Center. I was a college professor. I'm trained in philosophy and a PhD in history. I'm also an engineer. I've also done a lot of research in science, per se. I was a biology teacher, and then I worked for an insurance company inspecting grain elevators and inland marine and all this kind of stuff, marine. What can I say? I've had a varied thing. But my biggest heart is metaphysics. And most people don't understand when you say the term metaphysics. More people are beginning to understand it as we go into higher dimensions on this planet as people begin to expand their consciousness. And of course, now one of the heralded sciences, of course, is quantum mechanics. And to me, quantum physics is really just saying metaphysics, but they won't get to give, they want to give pleasure and treasure to metaphysics. But some things have happened in my life which completely changed them. Very esoteric. Esoteric versus exoteric is metaphysical versus physical. Many people laugh at metaphysics, but we're finding that our whole world now is becoming more metaphysical. The things that we're experiencing now with weather modification, genetically modified foods, mind control, altered state technology, everything is coming toward the idea that we haven't known too much as we think we have, but now we're beginning to learn just what is potential in the universe. So having done that, had my own school for a while, had a group of 300 people that were part of the center putting on psychic shows and metaphysical presentations. I now more or less am retired from that, but seemingly I'll never be able to completely retire because I don't make enough money to retire for what I want to do. And some circumstances in my life, which are kind of tragic, changed that all around. So that's pretty much what I say. I cover UFOs. I cover history. I cover a lot of the things on ghosts and monsters like we're talking about tonight on Pumpkin Day, if you would. I cover into more straight sciences and these towers that are everywhere, dials to protect you from radiation and extra low frequency propagations. I'm into magnetics. We have 40 different kind of magnetic things that I deal with, which help to speed up healing and take away pain, and very much into monatomic gold. So I'm all over the place, but if you're old as I am, you have a chance to do all of that, and I've had that opportunity.
Well, wonderful. Well, family, as you can see, we do have a griot indeed. We have a brilliant. Everyone in the chat room confers with me. I see brilliant, brilliant. Yes, brilliant. That's who you are. But I would love to get into what we're going to be speaking about tonight. Maybe the history, the deep understanding of what Halloween is all about and All Saints Day and Hallows Eve and what some of the symbols might be and what some other people may be utilizing it for.
Okay, let's just say that this is a very tragic time and a very beautiful time. And as you well allayed to that and attributed to this, it's a time for good and bad. In most of the cases, we want it to be bad. We want to get scared to death. We want things evil to happen. We see blood and guts and vampires and werewolves and everything else. Well, to me, as I say, that's nothing to honor, and therefore I do not honor that day, but studying it, yes, I do. And to celebrate All Hallows' Mass is one thing. Let me just say, first of all, that the Feast of Samhain, the Feast of the Lightbringer, is going to be celebrated on the 1st. That would be tomorrow. That's November. What we're doing now is celebrating All Hallows' Eve. In many cases, those who are deeply into it, on a very negative side, it's a tragic time because it's a time for actually sacrifices. One thing to sacrifice food or something like that and give up something. It's another thing when people are killed and stuff like this. And there are some practitioners there who actually do the worst thing you can do to people on that particular time. Where we get it on the lightweight by emulating and imitating ghouls and goblins and this kind of thing. The whole thing of Halloween, All Hallows Mass, took place mainly in Scotland, England, and around the area that was, you know, in many cases of England, the coastal areas there are still draining, where they were underwater for a while and they're dredging. And there was a lot of superstitions that dwelt there. And one of the things that I like to relate to is that in many of the areas of Scotland and Ireland and places like this, they had villages. And it had mountains on either side, so when people would come together and form a community, there were many cases separated by mountain chains. And in the stark winter and fall, when some of the climate there, landscape got covered with snow and mud and everything else, they didn't do too much traveling. So those people that were in individual, so we say, villages and hamlets like that, pretty much learned to stick together. So they usually would elect a mayor or a leader. And they, of course, depended on each other for sustenance and like this. So what would usually happen was there was a, say, the mayor of that hamlet or so, and on this particular day, which we call All Hallows' Eve, they would prepare all year long for it. It was one of the big festive holidays. So what they would do is that I'm going to start from scratch and then go from here. What they would do, they would find usually a tree on one of the hillsides or mountains not too far from where their enclave was. And they would try to get one that looked somewhat like a person. It would have limbs sticking out like arms. It would have a truncation again, so that would be the roots of that. And they'd use it, and they would initial it that this is going to be the one used for the Feast of Samhain or the Lightbringer or Hallows' Eve. And usually it was that they try to get the one that was highest enough from the valley, so you had to kind of climb the mountain to get it. They would prepare all year for this particular occasion. And, of course, in the fall, there were no leaves on the tree, so it was already barren. And they would, they had a kind of a procession that they did. Each of the homes would elect a person to represent that home. And just before midnight, when they say if it maybe it would take 20 minutes to walk up the hill or something like that, each person would send out from their home or their hutch or their hamlet, if you would, a representative. And that person representative would have either like a torch unlit or something to carry fire with. And they would all represent their homes. So at the stroke or just before midnight, they would each send a representative. Let's say there are 30 homes. And each one would send a representative. They would all start to walk up this hill toward this tree. Well, the tree had siblings and things that had little places, things that would burn. You know, scrapings of the wood and all this kind of thing. And by the time each one got up the hill, they'd try to space it so one would be just coming up the hill where the other was at the top. And then on a signal, they would light this fire on this tree. And then each one would bring, oh, that's another thing too. They would prepare the homes for a big festival. They would have, of course, hearth because they had no stoves and refrigerators per se. They would have a big hearth where they would cook the food. So they prepare whatever they're going to, gooseberry pie, mince pie, whatever it was. They'd have turkey, whatever they're going to have, but it would be uncooked. And the whole idea was that when they went out, they would bank the hearth. Well, when you bank the hearth, that meant there was no fire. And in those climes there, you could freeze to death. So it was really a trust that whoever left the home would come back with fire, which represented kind of some of the things that had happened in the past. So anyway, they start the big bonfire. And each person would take their torch or whatever it was to carry, and they'd start back down the hill. And they so spaced it that by the time the first person reached the bottom of the hill, the other person was still taking fire from the bonfire. Well, you can imagine if you were looking at that at night, that's a beautiful spectacle. You have these, like a little snake coming down from the fire all the way down to the what they call the central square of the village. Once they got there, then they would start another fire that was there in the middle of the village, and then each one would take the processional fire and go back to the homes, light the hearth, the food would begin to cook, and of course, and then they would begin to celebrate All Saints Day, or what they want to call the Feast of Samhain. Well, the catch of this one was that when some of the British and so were having battles with these people, and they wanted to find out who was the chief shall we say, shaman or so of the village, they found out if they waited to this particular time of Halloween, they would know, because it was in a pecking order that they did. The highest one would go first in the procession, and then each member of the family would follow it in. So what happened was they wanted to get these people because they knew that they controlled pretty much the political vote and many other things. So the catch was that was...
So just to backtrack a little bit so that we have some clarity on this history, this was pre-Christian. This was before, this was when everyone was pagan.
Pretty much so. Pretty much so.
And this was before Rome took over?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much so. And so what would happen then after that, when they came down and everybody would be treated to the food and festivals and stuff, they then had the gendarmes that were close by in the woods. They would come out and arrest the people that had come down. They now had the heads of those who were performing magic. They had the heads of those who were leading the political figures. And instead of being the treat that was done for everybody, treated each one that, it was tricked. And that's where the start of trick or treat came from. What they thought was going to be a festive time and treating all the families, they were arrested the people, and pretty soon it broke up that procession because nobody wanted to be arrested, and they didn't want people to know who the titular or direct heads were for the village. So that's where trick or treat started. They also had a custom at that time of using that day to state what they thought of their neighbors, and they could get away with it. Where the rest of the time you might get into a fight, get gored or sword fight or something else, they would wear a mask, and on the mask they would have the initials of the person who they were talking about. So if they had a goat's mask, or if they had a cow's mask, or they had a cat's mask, it meant that this person was acting like an old goat, or this person was like a little kitty cat, or something like this. And so it was a way of getting at the person without getting killed for doing so. So that's one of the reasons that they wore a mask. Then there are also customs that have gone on in Halloween for that, too. You have what they call carving the pumpkin. And everybody knows pumpkin pie, but of course to get pumpkin pie, you have to have a pumpkin. Interesting enough, a pumpkin is really almost like a parasite. The pumpkin actually grows along the ground. The vines wrap around other plants and things, and they actually take the life force from the plants. They'll actually use the plant as a food source. And so it's really a kind of a nasty way that this pumpkin has of growing. But nevertheless, when they cut it off, of course, then they cut it and you hollow it out. That's where you get the pumpkin pie. And you hollow it out so you can carve a face into it. So if you understand what happens there, they cut off the top to hollow it out. And then they carve in eyes, they carve in nose, they carve in mouth. Well, this is also very deeply metaphysical. What they have done there is to show that they then take the top off, do this, and they put a candle inside. And, of course, if it was not hollowed out, the candle could not burn. If they put a top on it, the candle would go out. But as they carve in the different senses, eyes, nose, mouth, the candle will burn brightly. So the candle represents the soul, the enlightenment, the flame of life. Each sense, where you see, hear, taste, and of course sometimes they'd even put in ear things to hear, this meant again that the candle could burn brightly. So it's a representative that the soul enters into the body as a light source, and as these senses develop, it can go brighter or eviler or better, whatever, and so it represents the soul encased or incarnate. And that's what this carving the pumpkin was all about. Another thing they did was to have bobbing for apples. And, of course, in that place, it's a contest, usually between people. Now it used to be teams or families, does that. And they would take, of course, a apple with a stem, and they put it into a great big pail of that, maybe enough for four people. Sometimes it would be six or seven people around it. And they would fill it with water and let the apples now bob on that. Well, the whole catch was you had to see how many apples in a certain space of time you could get for your side or for your clan or for your family. But the catch was you couldn't use your hands. You had to do it with your teeth. And so this is very symbolical. What it meant was the pail represented the vessel. It represented the earth. The water represented the waters of life and the life experience that a soul must go through. By taking that pencil, thumb, and all away, we became just like, or they became just like animals per se. And the whole idea is by using your mouth and your wits, how much could you gather food and gather things for your family without using your hands? So people have been known to almost drown as they fought each other for apples, bite each other. I mean, it got to be hilarious unless you were taking part in that. But it showed again that man is no more than a beast until he uses his head or uses her head, or until they use their brains in many cases. So, of course, it represented the life battle when we're on earth, when we're in the waters of life, and how many things could we get without using our hands but using our brains. So you can see where that was parallel and all like that.
I see.
There's another custom there, and that is wearing the witch's hat, what they call the conical hat of the witch, this little pyramid-shaped hat. That is very, very, very metaphysical. And it lets me know that either it was a custom that they knew or they were some very smart people. I think it was a custom that they forgot the origin of simply because of this.
Yeah.
When you wear that witch's hat, you're wearing a pyramid. And pyramids are the best source of energy transference on this planet. The pyramid shape is one of the things that Russia is using now for weather modification, which we can later on get into if you'd like to.
Yeah.
The pyramid shape is the best shape to put in what they call Oregon energy. But let me not get too technical. Let's keep this on the more of the metaphysical Halloween spirit. So, they used to put this conical cap on dunce. It was called a dunce cap. And they would put a person in a classroom or something, face them to the wall, put them on a stool, and put this dunce cap on, which was a sign that you were dumb and stupid. But that's not the origin of it. They did this because they found out that the pyramid shape called down a very high form of energy called Oregon energy. And when you put a crystal within that head, within that shape, it would help to actually amplify the pineal gland, the pituitary gland, and call down energy for an oxygen for the brain would function better. So it's actually like a curative for people whose brain was not the best or people who needed help because of mental disturbances. And now they're just re-finding out that that does work. Crystals work with the best crystal everybody has, which is the pineal gland.
Yeah.
And if you happen to have melanin in that pineal gland, it responds with its own self because it is a crystal. So when you put that dunce cap on, it's a way of amplifying thought. It's a way of amplifying brain energy. It's a way of calling down Oregon energy. So here's something we make fun of that was being used for a long time by somebody that was very wise as a piece of instrument so to help the brain. So what we laugh at is a shape and a custom that had very deep metaphysical beings within it. So as I say, it could go on and on. There's so many customs that we have for that one on the more deeper, sinister side. Of course, we talk about ghosts and spirits and all like that, and that's a whole different venue. I can go into that if you'd like, or if you want to pause for questions or comments, we can. If not, we can go into the ghosting thing, too.
Well, let's go into the ghosts and the goblins and all just a bit before we go to switchboard.
Okay. Well, there's such a thing that people call, ghosts, and of course they say that the ghosts are floating things in the air, so on and so forth. A ghost, more or less, is the... Now, I don't know how much of a background many of your audience have, but I know you have a vast audience, and if they tuned in on Halloween, they probably have some ideas about what I'm going to say anyway. But here's the way I understand it. A ghost is the energy that has left the body, and the body is in turn now decaying. But before the body physical can decay, the energy that made that body go, which is called the astral energy, is now displaced. So that energy now can form what they look like the regular body was as it decays. Some people at times, again, especially when you can use you sometimes touch the wall, rub a cat's hair and stuff, and you get that kind of force energy. Well, this energy that is displaced from the body when the person dies or so, can now form what would be like an outline of their body, only it's not strictly physical. It's more astral. And there are people from time to time can see this under right heating conditions or right dryness, usually when it's a dry atmosphere again like this, and you actually see this kind of thing just hovering around. Well, it is really just the energy field of a body that is now formless and lifeless, but it still has that energy that was in it. It still kind of hangs around. So you might see it decaying. So you get a horrible image of something floating in the air that's not completely skulled or not completely body parts are missing. It's that integrated energy that is now breaking up. That is one form of ghost, okay? Now, a specter is an entirely different thing. A ghost is harmless. A ghost is what was there that's now decaying, and it's decaying on the astral, and you see it as that. But then they have something called a specter. Now you've got something entirely different. A specter is something that has life energy, is not human at this particular time, and it's an energy that has either now been used by a person whose spirit is around or as a spirit manifested because it was drawn there for some reason again. Now you got something else, and it may also seem like it's decayed, but it's under intelligent control. Just as we might control a body, if I heard it, hard to think of these kind of evil ways, but if we would body at a morgue and you would stand it up and hide behind it, well, it's like they do that, but they do that on what is called the faster vibrating plane of the astral. So that would be one thing. Then, of course, you have a spirit. Now you got an entirely, completely different thing now. A spirit is an energy which now was human, or maybe not even be human, but for some reason or another is drawn to a particular point in the home, house, village, street, wherever, and you just happen to be on it at a time when it coalesces and when people give off thoughts are things. So on Halloween, when everybody's thinking in those terms, you actually can draw spirit energy and astral energy to you because that's where your mind is set on. Whatever you think of, you can draw to you. We are what we think, eat, and drink. So now you've got a whole different ball game. And we can really get some way out stuff to take that further, because sometimes we may get actually what we call an alien present, which has nothing to do with life forms, dead or gone. They're actually an alien there taking advantage of this situation to attack people. So as I say, we can get as deep with this as you like to go, but those are different forms. And all of this comes under the guise, of course, of the Feast of Samhain, or Hallowed Mass, the time of the Lightbringer, All Saints Day, all of these various things. But keep in mind, what the occultists and people who are very negative into it, they celebrate it on November 1st, tomorrow. And they do make blood sacrifices. You find a lot of people disappearing, children especially, in through now. And I've warned for the last 2 months to watch your children during this time, because it's not a good time. But, of course, with the swine flu things, again, it's not a good time anyway. But this is a time when most of these things, these black masses and so, were celebrated. And, of course, this is a time when a lot of this is gotten away with, because people don't even realize that some of this is not a joke for some, but a ritual that they look forward to.
Mm-hmm. And so just thinking about the astrological time period, would this time period be more powerful as far as energy? And this is why many of the black magicians or people who are in the satanic cults would use it at this time for sacrifice and all.
Well, it's between the solstices. Of course, it's between the autumnal equinox and so. Also, is a full moon out, too, so they get it that this is really a powerful time this year with all the other things that are happening with the economic situation. So I would say definitely so. It's a time when whatever you believe, you draw toward you, because you put energy toward it, like I tell people all the time. Focused thought is one of the most powerful weapons or helpful things, whether you use it as a weapon, whether you use it as a healer. It's up to the person. But when you focus your thought and you get groups of people or a lot of people thinking the same thought or on the same premise, you get powerful things. That's what that is. This is why I tell them all the time, you're never powerless, but we diversify our thoughts. We do not concentrate them, and we do not get lots of people thinking on the same thing at the same time. That is mental power, and that is what the whole creation is based on, the power of mind to control, the power of mind to create. So I would say along that line, again, it's a very powerful time and can be used for good or bad depending on the application.
It certainly can. And as a hypnotherapist, I understand that thought, when it's impressed with emotion, it actually puts an imprint on the subconscious. And you would know what the subconscious does. It just makes things happen. but you said about going deep. Well, Delbert, I got my shovel. So we can go real deep.
Oh, boy.
Before we do that, I noticed that there are a lot of calls on the switchboard. Please, if you want to ask a question or make a comment, please press 1 so that I know that you're not just listening and that you really... Oh, I see. Oh, everybody's got a question. But before we get to that switchboard, thank you all. We're going to get right to you. I see our wonderful Conscious Vibrations has a question in the chat room. He always has wonderful questions. He, as far as those bodies that you were speaking about, when you were speaking about the ghosts and the spirits and the specters, his question is bar bodies, B-A-R-R?
I don't know what a bar body is.
Hmm.
Barbary? Well, maybe, is it about Barbary?
I don't know. Maybe Conscious, maybe you can give us a call in or type in so that you can clarify what that means, because I really want to know what that means as well, so we can go a little deeper. Yes, Super Black Goddess, we're going to go deep. So I'm going to go ahead and and take the question. Okay.
You know,
and
when you said that, I was being like, one superficial, jokeful way would be the British aggregation thing. That would be the Bar Association for Sovereignty, by which we're under the British rule anyway. But I guess we don't want to go there, do we?
You know what? We certainly can, because you know what? Tonight, if you are game, we can go for 2 hours if you're ready.
Oh, man. You would want to put up with me for 2 hours, I tell you.
Uh-huh. Because what we're going to do, if you're game.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
We are going to go 2 hours into our special members show. And that's our members show where we go over to occultscience.tv.
Oh.
And that's where everybody can partake of that particular show. But for now, let's just deal with this particular show. We're going to go with our first caller, and I believe it's Conscious, in the 216 area code. Welcome to Illuminations. You have a question or comment? Is that our Conscious? Hello? You know what? Maybe they're just listening. We'll go on to the next caller. Caller in the 912 area code, you have a question or comment for Delbert Blair?
Yes, I do. How are you doing today?
Ah, we're great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Mr. Dr. Delbert Blair, I've been trying to get in contact with you for a long time now. I've called the Meta Center and left messages, and I'd like to thank the nice lady you have there who answering your phones there. She was very polite, and she took a lot of my questions. And I have a couple questions about your triple numbers and UFOs, and I was wondering, I experienced some things that you experienced with UFOs, and I was wondering if you experienced any triple numbers and linked to the UFO phenomenon. Hello?
Delbert? Dr. Blair? Oh, it looks like we might have lost him. He's going to call back in. So hang on.
Okay.
He's going to call right back.
I appreciate that.
All right. So what I'm going to do while we're waiting for him to call right back in, Blog Talk Radio.
I got some things I can share while we're waiting if you'd like me to.
Well, you know what? Please. Go on
ahead. Okay, well, Dr. Blair was on your show before, and he was talking about UFOs and how he was contacted at one time. And I myself,
right.
I woke up one day, I went to the hospital, and they told me I had kidney disease, okay? And I don't even drink and all, nothing like that, okay? And I went home, and next thing I know, I start seeing lights in the sky, okay? And I thought I was crazy as well, you know? I just shunned it off. A beam of light hit me in my eye about 10 or 15 feet away from me. 2 weeks later, I went to the doctor, and he told me I was cured. Okay?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I had creatine problems. So I had to get my creatine checked a lot. And I noticed another guy, Terrell Copeland, had the same issue as well. And I noticed that after I had these issues, I started seeing triple numbers a lot, a whole lot, okay? Started telling friends about my triple numbers and my sightings, so I invited them to see them for themselves so I wouldn't have any illusions, okay? Then, next thing I know, after a lot of things happen, I moved from that house, okay? I'm thinking it's a ghost or something, and this house isn't, you know. So I moved, and 3 months later, I was woken up at 5:55. I got tired of it, ma'am. I ran outside, I looked up, and there it was, you know, floating
again.
Away. Yeah,
wow.
Okay, and
so
I moved away.
It wasn't the house, that was you.
Pardon, ma'am?
I said, it wasn't the house, it was you. Everywhere you go,
there
you are.
I guess so. Yes, and I have witnesses as well, you know, even down to my kids, you know, and my fiance and my friends, you know. And Dr. Delbert Blair, he was talking about black aliens, okay? I myself, I'm a black American, and I was afraid to come forth because I thought someone would think I was just being pro-black, saying that, oh, now you're saying aliens are black too, you know?
Right.
So I was afraid to come forth. But after hearing Dr. Delbert Blair, I'm not afraid anymore to come forth. I tell you that much, you know.
Well, that,
hello?
I hope he comes back.
I'm glad.
He's
so
back.
We have Blair back on the line.
What happened?
I'd like to have you back. I don't know.
Neither do I.
Something
isn't that
happened?
Interesting as usual? I
but
can always count when I'm
there,
on air stuff that happens funny. It's always interesting.
It is.
Always, it's always interesting. Anyway, I don't know how much I missed, but I'm back.
Okay. Well, caller, you had a question or comment for Delbert. Now's your opportunity.
Yes, Mr. Delbert. I've been trying to get in contact with you for a while now, and I've been leaving messages. I know you probably think I was that crazy guy calling, but my name is Myron, and I was the one calling the Meta Center. And I was wanting to ask you about the triple numbers. Did you experience any triple numbers when you had UFO phenomena? Because I experienced some of the same things that you have, even with a black extraterrestrial who was slender in the face, and he had dreads going to the back, and he was a skinny in stature, you know, and I was in eighth grade at this time. I didn't have the flashbacks of this dream until I was 30-something years old after I had an experience.
Was this a dream or an actual contact?
So this is actual contact. I thought it was a dream, so I wish it was a dream now, you know, but I'm glad it wasn't because it opened my life, and I went from 50 Cent the Rapper to Fibonacci Sacred Geometry in 2 months, you know, and I realized that I was asleep the whole time, and I was missing a lot of things in life, and I mean, I went through this. I talked to this guy. I was looking right here in his eyes, sir. I looked right in his eyes. I mean, I had UFOs come. It was like 5 foot away from me, sir. And it shot a beam of light at me, sir. And I went to the doctor. And after I went to the doctor, he said I didn't have to. My kidney disease, it cleared up. I didn't have to take steroids anymore.
Mm. Wow.
And I was just wondering in my child, deja vu and. Psychic abilities, it seems like. I was wondering, did you experience any triple numbers when you were going through this?
No, I didn't experience triple numbers. I do know that triple numbers are very good in numerology because they amplify to the third power. And again, sequences, what they call below 10 and above 10 and 0 to 1. But I don't really know. They have not worked so much for me, but I have understood a little bit of numerology, and those who do work with it to say the triple numbers are the way to go. In fact, very interesting, we just had Riffley 9909, which was 666, and that was September 9th, 09 year. And it was very interesting, too, because after that we had a couple of storms and hurricanes that hit both in the Pacific and in the Atlantic. One was a typhoon, one was a hurricane. Same difference, it's just it is called one thing and wall another, because it didn't make people get too worried. So who knows? But I understand that there is power in numbers.
Yes, sir. Well, sir, one more question, sir. I heard you always say that you have a briefcase you will travel, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, sir, I don't have money to pay you to travel, but I do have money to pay you for a phone call. I mean, if there's anything I can do to get you to call me, I will pay you with my credit card. To just talk for I don't know how long, sir. And one more thing. You said that Mr. George Mdiski, he took some sorrow on you because he saw you were going through some stuff, right? And you couldn't explain it. And I'm hoping that you, and deep in your heart, will find sorrow on me and help me the same way that he helped you, sir.
Well, I've helped a lot of people. And when you say Myron, there's another brother that I know. In fact, I might even familiar with you, brother. You may have left messages, but I never got them. If you did talk with me, it might have been in passing. And if I'm just, because I'm out of town a lot and they have a fairly decent organization, and sometimes they usually screen my calls with that one. When I set up consultations, I do it by phone or else in person. And definitely if I had that, I would know. So I'm just simply saying I usually try to work with sick people first, and then the people who are trying to help. I need help too, believe me, in this crazy world we're in now. So, you know, that's the way that goes. It's a bad thing, you know. I tell people all the time, I tell people all the time, I'm neurotic, and I have no problems raising neurosis, okay? My neurosis grows every time I turn on TV, the radio, go to the internet, read a newspaper, madness out here. So if these people are psychotic, I'm a little neurotic because they're dangerous.
Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make sure that, Delbert, that you give your information out and making sure that you're going to get in contact with Myron, yes?
Yes.
See if you have some things to share, it sounds like. And, Myron, if you would, you can contact me at my website, or you can hit me here on Blog Talk Radio and make sure I have your email, and I can forward that to Blair so that he'll know who you are. You guys can coordinate this meeting, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to go on to the next caller. I know that we have a caller in the 216 area code.
Hope, tap, and respect, my sister.
Welcome, Conscious. So glad to have
doing?
You on the air. I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Much love to the receiver, Dr. Delbert Blair, to your guests, and I appreciate your efforts. I had a question for him, but I wanted to give him a response on the bar body. Dr. Blair, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Respect God. How you doing?
Fine, and you, sir?
Excellent. When I made reference to the bar body, I study on a multitude of levels from the level of a student. When I noticed something in studying like physical existence, how the female on an internal level, you know, the embryogenesis process basically defies the origins of the divided split associated with the union. It was something unique that happens during this metamorphosis when the split is established with her being first, that she has two X chromosomes. One of those X chromosomes basically is dormant, means it's a bar body, a ghost chromosome, which doesn't receive the proper electromagnetic activation in order for it to exist or contribute towards the personality. So a female only has one chromosome, X chromosome. When you made reference to the ghost, in all actuality, the ghost would be that other X associated with the female. You follow me? Like the twin. One being basically physical and one actually being non-physical. So that's why I made...
What is the acronym for BARR?
B-A-R-R, BARR body. Let me see if I can give you any type of references to pull up anything on it. Hold on. I have notes on my laptop, but I have to maybe try to get it to my sister, Cynthia Illumination, so then I can give you like other information on it. But everything
you know,
said,
that would be great. You know, you can do that. You can get that to me, and I can make sure we can get that to Blair, and then we can bring that up on another show. Yeah.
Yeah, everything he said, in all actuality, I was sitting, it was blowing me away because I was listening. So my question, my primary question is this. I know when you were speaking, in all actuality, my perception is that you were speaking along the lines of energy, how energy can manifest itself. So based on this Halloween and based on a multitude of these rituals and entities that we deal with mentally as far as other individuals, do you think on a cosmic level that it has anything to do with the subconference of the Milky Way, us being like within the bullseye of the subconference for this 4 to 6 year period? Are we to expect anything based on that, you know, 2012 as far as like on an energy level?
Well, first of all,
question.
First of all, the long con calendar of the Mayan, I don't believe in. Now, I just made all the people who love Mayans getting teed off at me now. So let me explain myself fully.
Okay.
As far as I can understand, the Mayans at that time were an agronomous people. They just did not have the celestial mechanics to not only figure out a star cluster center using the Milky Way as a guidance, since we're on the far flanges of the Milky Way, but they just didn't go that way. They just could not have it. They were still making sacrifices. They still, if you notice by the step pyramids or ziggurats there, they will usually have fanged reptiles there right alongside, which meant that their gods were reptiles. And I think that they were truly almost like this movie Apocalypse or Apocalypsis. This guy always makes movies, but he always gets them wrong. I don't know. He's got the right idea, but he always films them wrong as far as I'm concerned. The sacrifices that they made were to their gods. And they had enough trouble just trying to stay alive with their gods not eating them up. That's why they sacrificed the best and hoping that the gods would leave the rest. But being serpents as they are and Dracons, they didn't care. And this is where we have to get into the deeper science here. These serpent gods are very evil. They've controlled this planet for some time. Now, I'm going to get into heavy. You said you want to go deep. Let's dig some ditches. This planet has been controlled for over 4 million years, maybe more than that, by reptiles. And they pretty much have controlled this area. They are reptilian in form. They're called Dracons. They come from Draconis and Orion. And they've had their way. They've even made so many of the bodies that we jump into as souls. And if you notice on these bodies, they put the reptile brain right at the hex of this 32nd vertebra there, which is what they call the 32nd degree. And this is what we have to go through to expand consciousness. We got to go through that reptile brain, which does four things well: fight, feed, flee, and fornicate. Fight, flee, and fornicate. And most of our time, that's what we do. We're either fighting wars, fleeing from something, afraid of something, making have sex without love, and then, you know, just eating anything that's around. Once we get past that, we can begin to expand into nani consciousness and to get into that the yin-yang chi ratio, where we can begin to open up the right brain and really get out there into space. So that being all said, I doubt seriously if they could have presented that. To me, it was made by the Olmecs. And the Olmecs, called Zacapacans, of course, the Olmec is another homemade word. They were the ones there in Central America, at Chichen Itza, at Uxmal, at Cecil, at Chiawanaca, all of these places. They even came into the Ohio Valley. They're here in Illinois, the mound builders here, in the Serpent Mounds. These are the ones that stood against these evil Dracons, and they're the ones we attribute most of our thank you to. That's why you notice that they're Negroid gods are all over the planet. You've got even the Norsemen and Norwegian and stuff have Tyre, which was a black guy. The Indians, real Indians, not these American Algonquin and Kalians, they have Kriste, which is a blue-black god. Buddha, which means the black, in Laos, Cambodia. All of these gods are around there because they're the only ones that helped out this population that was being circumvented and hybrid here on this planet and saved it from these Dracons. Now, to me, those are the ones that had enough intelligence and enough wisdom of astronomical ladder and so to not only utilize the crystal skulls and to utilize the Milky Way, but to me, they're also the ones that you that built the pyramids on Mars. They're the ones that built the pyramids here after they fought the Atlanteans and Lemurians. It gets very deep. So to me, that is the count, and that calendar, if you can make it through to December 21st, 2012, you'll be good. Now is the time when we're going through the hells. Now is the time in the time before we get into the fifth dimension, because it's my understanding our planet is going from the third dimension to the fifth dimension. That's like going from kindergarten to postgraduate school, all in the space of 3 years. So those that can vibrate, those that can go with our new binary star sun system, and I know I'm dropping facts all over the place, and people say these facts are crazy. They're not. They're well studied. You have to believe them or don't believe them. That's up to you. But as we get into a binary star sun system, the vibrations of everything is speeding up. The astronomers and meteorologists and astrophysicists are all talking about how the sun now has this low spot activity, no sunspot activity there. What's happened to the sun? Well, the sun is going highly magnetic. They're saying it's losing the magnetism, but it's going to argon energy, and you don't have sunspot with argon energy. So I'm just saying we could talk from now on. It is not the Mayan calendar. It is the Olmecan Zacapacans calendar, and it's a time when people must awaken. They must go with the new dimensions of the planet, or we cease to exist. That's why from that report on Iron Mountain that said, again, remember that thing, and I know I'm rambling all over the place, but I'll try to tie it together. That report came out in 1976, the report from Iron Mountain, which stated they gave $1.5 million to study the feasibility and possibility of peace. At the end of that stupid study, they stated, there could be no peace on this planet, must have a war every 15 to 17 years in order to control the population, the economics, and the means of control the economic situation. And they suggested that they get rid of 3.5 million people on this planet, I'm sorry, in the United States, and 5.5 billion off the planet, calling them useless eaters and growing weeds. So when you get that kind of a tyrannical, dictatorial, serpentine type consciousness, we're in for it. So that if we can get through to there, we probably will come to those parts of the galaxy that are more pleasant, more peaceful, and more friendly than the ones that we're presently engaged with.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like we all need to raise our vibrations, and we need to move forward here, because otherwise we're just not going to make it. And so how might we do that? I have a someone in the chat room is talking about a magnet that they did purchase from you, and they're wondering how to utilize that to their best advantage.
Well, we have 40 different kinds of magnets. Magnets take away pain and speed up healing. They help to raise the, in other words, the myelin sheath around the nerve ending is what gives you pain when it's frayed or vibrating in a negative result. So this helps to strengthen the myelin sheath. It helps to also bring oxygen into areas because the red blood cells are what heals through the oxygen, and the red blood cells have iron. So wherever you place a magnet, it draws that iron, which draws the oxygen molecule, which helps things to heat faster. You know, we're having ball games now, basketball, baseball, football, all three, and because of the weather, cold and all, people are getting sprains and broken and all like this. Well, they take hot and cold applications and wrap it around an ankle or around the back. What they should do is to get you a strong Gauss magnet, neodymium, maybe 5,000 Gauss. That will speed up the healing process and cut it in half because there'll be no swelling, simply because the swelling comes from the white blood cells going down there to kill bacteria and germs. And bacteria and germs cannot live in a strong magnetic field. So you start using sensible. Start using magnets at the beginning. Help magnets magnets in your blood. It gives you more oxygen. It helps things to heal faster. So that. But we also have diodes, and that to me is just as important, if not more important, because those are the things that stop you from frying your brain with cell phones, stop you from losing your eyesight with cell phones, stop you from getting radiated in the heart and body again using these computers, riding in these cars which are solid welded and putting all kind of detrimental radiation to the sex organ as you sit on these seats welded to the frame. Stop you from eating these microwave foods, which these people are using, these microwave ovens, and you ought to give that to your best enemy or throw it away. So as I say, we got these big digitally enhanced TV sets, which you need diodes for, because it's not only pickling your brain, it's beginning to make your eyesight go bad with this enhancement. And so I say, we have a lot of products. What I've tried to do, I found problems. They're everywhere. I try to find solutions. They're nowhere. But when you put them all together, it makes my site a pretty good one, simply because the Creator has helped me to try to find solutions to these problems and not just saying there's the problems alone. So magnets, diodes, and monatomic goals are the answer to most of our problems right now, of course, until they invent some more tomorrow.
And, you know, the question here in the chat room is about magnetizing water before drinking it. They're asking, what side should they lie it on? Should it be to the north or to the south?
Our planet operates on three different kinds of energies. Org energy, which is original, organic, orgasm, organism. It is life force flow. This is why they say we're original people and this kind of thing. I wonder if they really know what they mean when they say that. The second energy is magnetic energy. And the only type of magnet to use is the North Pole. You don't want to use that South Pole unless it's very cautiously and you know what you're doing. The North Pole balances things out and speeds up the healing. The South Pole expands things. If you got a Charlie horse or a cramp, that's great. But if you got cancer and tumors, it's going to make it get bigger, so you have to watch that. You want to use North Pole of the magnets per se. And the third energy our planet can operate on is electricity, and you can't get any lower than that. And as of that lowest energy, which is, again, supposed to be made of fossil fuel, which is another big joke, that lowest energy, they're using extra low frequency, elf waves. I have a tape out called Elves, Not Elves, Are Killing You. They're worried about goblins and crows. That elf energy will take you out in a minute or make you wish you were dead. So again, it's the point is now that you want to use the north pole of the magnet. Magnet has two poles in the null zone. If you get in the null zone, that's one thing. But other than that, use a north pole and a north pole only. Sit your bottle on a north pole. And if you've got a neodymium magnet, 5,000 gauss or so, you can do that probably in about a half a day. Keep another thing in mind. A lot of people are being fleeced. They're buying magnetic water and storing it in the basements for hard times. Magnetism leaves the water in 72 hours. After 3 days' time, you have no magnetism in it. So you need to get a source for the magnetism to revamp it anytime you can.
Powerful. Well, we have last 5 minutes for this segment. We're going to move on to the second one. We invite everyone to hang out with us. Hang out in the chat room. We'll be right back after that. And for our second, which will be a members-only download show, but you guys are privy to listen to it live and also to call in with your questions. But with the last 5 minutes, just in case some people aren't able to make it to the rest of the show, maybe they're going to go out trick-or-treating later, I would like for you to share your information, Delbert. How can people get these diodes and these magnets? How can they contact you? You've got a briefcase. You real travel. So.
Well, I'd rather them travel than me, but I will travel under certain circumstances, especially to hold what we call our meditation workshops. At any rate, on the computer, it's you have to type in that prefix, T-H-E, metacenter.com. That's www.themetacenter, M-E-T-A-C-E-N-T-E-R.com. Phone line, landline, for those who still use it, and we do take calls, that's 708-422-6685, 708-422-6685, The Meta Center, www.themetacenter.com. And, of course, we have all kind of things. We have brain boosters, sex enhancers, things to protect you from radiation, things to augment, again, with the magnets, things to work with the monatomic gold to increase brain power and concentration. You name it, we've got it. We even have magnetic penis rings.
Oh,
and that's for the sexual orientation for these guys who, for some reason or another, trust another man who maybe does or does not like them for these PSA tests, which is these prostate-specific antigen tests, in which they actually take a minor surgery to get a protein to produce it and to test it out. That's ridiculous. And to me, you can do that so many other ways than doing that. And one of the easiest ways, which is very simple, the same principle of magnetism works wherever you put it. And if you have these penis rings, it fits on the penis, okay? And what that does is, since it has magnets in it, it draws the red blood cells. That's what an erection is. And in drawing the red blood cells again, it concentrates that energy and begins to open up the veins as it flows through, even occluded veins. And of course, if you stop taking the sugars and the proteins that are doing it, it will help you, and without surgery, to begin to open up the veins, the vascular tubularis, and all like that too. So that's another thing we also utilize. And drinking magnetic water can also help a great deal too, depending on what else you're using with the water. And that's another, we could talk 5 hours on just water. I remember Dr. Mona Harrison, the black woman that they killed, because she was a genius at water. She taught me so much, I thought I knew. I didn't know anything. So water is another thing, too, and magnetics in water can help a lot of your blood to heal itself and your blood to become richer in consciousness and oxygen.
Powerful. Well, you know, I would like to know more about this water. We do have 2 minutes left in this segment. As I said, we're going to have everyone hang out. I see Solana does have to go. But everybody, hang out with us. We're going to slide on over into our second half after a few moments. It's going to start on the dot at 7 p.m., so hang out. But a little bit about that water. How can we magnetize our water, and what type of water could we purchase and then magnetize?
Wow. Well, believe me, that's a powerful question, because there's a big debate about water. I like distilled water. I understand the fish can't swim in it and plants can't grow in it. With time enough, we can go through that. I also like water that's been sitting on a block magnet. We sell block magnets. We have 6 to 6.5 pound iron block magnets, 5,000 Gauss. Not too many places you can get that without going to a laboratory. In most of the cases, unless you have a medical certificate, they will not give it to you. We sell them. And that's one thing you can use to with the enhancing the water or doing many other things to it. We also have a flex magnet that's half that Gauss. A Gauss is a unit of measurement for the strength of a magnet between two unlike poles. What we also have is a flex magnet. It's only 2,300 Gauss, but that's about 50, 60 times better than the little Scotty dog magnets, okay? And that can also give you flexibility where you can put it on your back. You can still sit water on it, whatever you want to do. But, of course, a 6.5 rigid thing is kind of hard to use, even though it is powerful. You can use them on water pipes, too, to pull out rust and scale. So many things you can do with a magnet. We can't do it all, but we have 40 different kinds that can do it all.
Powerful. Well, we're going to close out this segment, and then we'll meet you right back in a few minutes. Peace and blessings for all of you who are maybe going out trick-or-treating and you won't join us, but we'll see you in a minute, everyone else.
Hello?
This is Tamara Westwood, your host, signing off. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Please send all comments and ideas to Tamara@IlluminationsSoulTherapy.com. Remember to join us live on Blog Talk Radio by logging into blogtalkradio.com/illuminations. And never miss a show by subscribing to the free podcast at iTunes Store. Search iTunes Podcast for Illuminations, healthy food for the mind, body, and soul.